Hello?
So I'm going to stand up and move around a little bit. That's to address the growing sense of fight or flight within me. So pardon me for that.
We blocked all the doors.
I know. Yeah, it turns out the Valium salt lick at the clinic is diminished, so I couldn't do that. So, anyway, about 4 months ago, we got and I'm going to reiterate some of the things that Peggy explained. And by the way, that was amazing. About 4 months ago, Island Hospital decided to end their intention to partner with us and also with Orcus Clinic. And as Peggy said, it's probably because their challenges for a really small hospital are becoming overwhelming. They have to deal with all these upcoming changes and the uncertainty. And they decided to let both these clinics go so that they could simplify things. And so that gave us about 9 months to respond to this, which in the best of circumstances would have been a really tight and difficult challenge. But the problem is, as Peggy pointed out, that we are looking at organizations that are very hesitant to form any kind of commitments because they don't know what's going to happen next month, let alone in 6 months from now. So it's been a real challenge. And the two big challenges, again, as Peggy explained, one is cash. If we lose our association with a small hospital, less than 50-bed hospital like Island, our reimbursement rates drop by roughly 60%. And the other is, and that was the, she mentioned the Medicare payments dropping from about 200 and change to 80. And the other big challenge, of course, is that Island Hospital has been providing us with a ton of management services. So billing and electronic medical record keeping and technical support and human resources stuff and contracting with all the various insurance agencies, et cetera. So, and more, a lot more things. So we're faced with where do we get the money and who's going to run us? So we started out by identifying 7 potential partners that we might approach. And these are typically hospitals and healthcare organizations that might be interested in affiliating with a rural healthcare clinic. And if you have a chance, there's a prospectus that was developed largely by Peggy. And it's very slick, and it's a really nice way of framing the clinic. And we sent those out to a whole bunch of players. And that was one of our very first efforts. And I'd just like to talk very briefly about the effort that has been expended so far. So we were on this very, very tight track, and we've had dozens of meetings, hundreds of emails. The effort that the CWMA board, particularly these folks and especially Peggy, have put out has been really amazing. We've contacted multiple experts in all sorts of areas, everything from, well, some of the people we negotiated with, the CEOs, the COOs, people who are experts in managed healthcare, Sandy Meltzer, VP of Children's, et cetera, et cetera. I have a list of players, and it's about 50, 60 people long now. So we've really been working hard at this, and unfortunately, because of this uncertainty that Peggy mentioned, the players, the potential partners, that list has diminished. So we had 9 months. We had 7 organizations that we looked at. 2 were Catholic based, 2 were public based, and 3 were physician group based. We found out a couple of things. One, that they're reticent to take on new responsibilities, and 2, these things are like glaciers. They are so slow to respond. They're top heavy. There's a lot of administration, and so you put out an inquiry, send the prospectus, whatever, and then 2 weeks later, if you're lucky, you'll get a reply, and then you do the next step. So it's like we're, you know, anxious, and we're trying to get this done, and they are these big, plodding, and very hesitant groups right now, and so it hasn't been the best of match in terms of time parameters. So bottom line is, over the last 4 months, those seven have been whittled down to one remaining, maybe two. We're reapproaching one of those. And so it occurred to us, and actually this was something that Sandy Meltzer brought up. He said, why don't you go back to Ireland? Why don't you go talk to him and see if you can work out a deal? Because the infrastructure's in place, you have this relationship, you get that enhanced reimbursement. And so we did. We went back to Ireland and we said, hey, look, what if we do this and this and this and this to make it a more favorable deal for you, a safer deal for you? And they came back a short time later and said, guess what? No, we're not going to do that. So that went by the wayside. Along that same vein, we've reapproached a couple other organizations saying, you know, you really ought to think about this. We're a great deal. And so far, the response from those has either been no or no response at all. But we're still hoping. We're not letting anything go away easy. We're really working on these folks to try to get them to play with us. I look at myself in the mirror and I think, am I ugly? What the hell? And the answer is yes. But so after all that, we reconsidered other options, and one of those is to go, quote, independent, which really isn't independent at all, but it would mean instead of affiliating with a hospital group, we would hire on a management services group. And so the way that works is that we would become an independent either regular clinic or independent rural healthcare designated clinic, and we're not sure what the best which one of those would serve us best, but one way or the other, we would approach management services and say, okay, look, we have this great clinic and we need all these services, the ones I already mentioned, the HR, the employee payroll and benefits, and electronic medical record, and contractual services with insurance companies, yada, yada, yada. And so we're exploring that in parallel right now with the other efforts we're making to continue talking with this dwindling field of medical groups that might be interested, medical group that might be interested in us. The time that we have to make this happen is shrinking. We now have, until June 30th, we've got, 5 months. And so one of the things that we've done in anticipation of that is to go back to Island Hospital and say, okay, we're being told by at least one expert in one of these management groups that this process could take 9 months. Do the math, that leaves us 4 months short. So we've asked Island Hospital to consider extending their contract with us for a defined, limited period of time so that we could finish what we need to do to keep the clinic rolling. We have not heard a reply back about that yet. We're hoping that the board, Island Hospital board, will say, sure, we can give Lopez another 3 or 4 months so they can make this transition and, you know, stay open and not have to struggle. If they say no, we still have options. They get a lot more difficult and a lot more complex. I mean, you can imagine. We would try to cobble together something to take care of all those tasks while we wait for our independent status to be completed so that we could be served by a management services group. Does that make sense? Okay. And then there's a bunch of other things swirling around. There's some political figures, and you guys have all heard about Kevin Ranker and his influence at Orcas. So there's people in government that may influence this. Nobody knows what the heck the new administration is going to do just yet. So as concise and clear as I hope I've made this sound, I got to tell you that there's a lot of uncertainty. And we would love to be able to give you solid answers, but we can't. There's simply the information is not there yet, because depending upon who we might end up contracting with, that would change everything. For example, if we were able to, by some miracle, affiliate with a small hospital like Island, just then our finances will look tremendously better. On the other hand, if we go with a management services group or a larger hospital, they'll look differently. And then, of course, what the Trump administration does over the intervening months, that will have influence over us as well. It's crazy. We probably picked the worst time. We didn't pick it. Island Hospital probably picked the worst time to force us into negotiations. It's a nut house. But we are very, very hopeful. We do not. We consider closure of the clinic, even temporarily, as completely unacceptable. So we're looking at a number of different things. We're working hard on it, and I still am confident that that we'll pull this off. I think that's everything I wanted to say. Questions?
Yes, we have one right here in the front row.
I'm Judy Langford, formerly also a clinic manager. How does the clinic on Orcas, namely, just went out of my head, help me, the independent clinic.
Well, there's two.
Yeah.
There's the one that's run by Dave Shinstrom.
That's the one mean. How does Dave Shinstrom's clinic fare? Have you checked into that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So they are a non-for-profit clinic, and they have a sliding scale of some kind. They use a management services piece to help run their clinic. So they've put together sort of a really unique management style. Nothing like what we have. And I don't, off the top of my head, I don't know of another one that works that way. I don't know how successful they are. I haven't really asked Dave, hey, are you making money? Are you losing money? But that's what they've got. Yeah.
Someone else? Yes, Heather?
My experience with Shinstrom's office is that they also don't offer the extensive array of services that we have. So I'm not sure how comparable those two are.
My name's Arthur Course. In your search, the seven starting organizations, are they all in Washington, or were any of them major that crossed state boundaries?
Yes to both. They're all in Washington, and a couple, at least three, have concerns in other states. Yeah, and yep.
Yes.
I was wondering what is...
Name?
Oh, Janet Yang, sorry. I was wondering what was required to keep the status as a rural clinic in terms of possible affiliates.
Well, there's to be a rural clinic, you have to have there's certain geographic and population requirements, and we meet those. So you it has to be a you know a remote clinic. You have to be a certain distance from other services. The population base has to be under a certain degree, and I can't tell you those numbers right off the top of the head, but we clearly meet that. As far as affiliating with other groups, I don't know that it's required that you're an RHC, but correct me if I'm wrong, Peggy, but as Peggy said, when you have the combination of, yeah, we're a rural clinic, and you affiliate with a less than 50-bed hospital, your reimbursement rate is gigantic compared to not. And so I don't believe it's required that you're an RHC to affiliate or not, but there is a huge advantage, huge advantage.
Krista.
I'll look to Peggy for a... So one of the things we're investigating right now is what it means to retain that certification. Currently, our number or our licensure, whatever you'd like to call it, resides with Island Hospital. So we have a couple options. We can and we will consider, we're going to look into what it means to get that certification transferred to us from Island Hospital. In some ways, that would be one of the more expedient things to do. It still will take several months to do that. So that's one under consideration. There is one of the little attachments to that is if we accept that number and it's transferred to us, we agree to accept all liability for any misbehavior, I guess you'd call it, with billing of Medicare and Medicaid for any services that happened under that contract. That liability currently resides with Island Hospital. So that would be one of the things we need to, we are working with someone that we're hoping can do an analysis of what's been done through Island Hospital in its association with our clinic and what our exposure might be if we were to just get that number transferred to us. The other option is to apply for a new number, and that is doable. It just takes a few more months to do, and we have to make sure that we meet that criteria. So we are currently... and we'll go to the board to get this reaffirmed next week. Our plan is to request that we have someone, legal counsel, start working on that process just so it's underway. We're trying to keep as many trains coming out of the station as we can, and then we'll just pick the one that we really end up on. So she's investigating that, and hopefully we'll proceed with making some of the paperwork happen. At the same time, we're having someone else look at, it's kind of changing with healthcare, and our rural health clinic status may not be as advantageous given the changes in reimbursement and how it's moving from a quantity-based per patient reimbursement to a more quality-based outcome structure. And rural clinics, independent clinics who have that designation are currently in the process of assessing for themselves whether that's where they should stay. So it's just one more ball that's up in the air. But our plan right now is to move in the direction of retaining that, either through a transfer or initiating our own number. And then hopefully before we have to sign on anything, we'll know whether it's to our advantage to do that.
Any other questions?
Good afternoon. My name is TJ Anderson. I'm just curious, what did we do as a clinic before we contracted with Island Hospital?
Oh, you're talking about ancient history. That was the days of Dr. George Dengler. I believe near the last year or two of his practice, he made the affiliation with Island. So I've been here for 20 years, 5 years. So that was like 27 years ago. And I think he just ran it as his own clinic. He got the obviously the support of the building services, but he used his own tax ID number and ran it through his authority as a doctor. And that is one option that still remains for us. If a lot of these other things fall through, the clinic can use my tax ID, and we can operate as a in a similar way that George did, although things have changed a little bit.
Including population.
And including me. Did that answer your question? Yeah. I'm not nearly as tough as George was, by the way.
Hi, I'm Phil Page. Question on the formation of the hospital district and the timeline and cash flow. It looks like there would be a gap between when the district is formed and tax collections actually happen. What kind of stopgap type of plans do you have tentatively there?
Chris is going to address that, but in a nutshell, there are CWMA has some money that can bridge that gap. And we think enough. It can't do it forever. And one of the things that strikes me is it took CWMA roughly 40 years to put together the reserve fund they have now, and we could eat through that in about 5. So it's there, it's available, but we certainly don't want to delete it, use it all up.
Any Anyone else? Yes.
Ed Sheridan. Well, you started out with 7 possible dates, and now you're down to 1, maybe 2. Do you want to share that, or do you want to keep that confidential?
Yeah, we're still bound by confidentiality agreements. I'd love to share it with you. You could probably make some pretty intelligent guesses about who they might be, but we can't. Yeah. I mean, no, we could make intelligent guesses, too. But we can't share it. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
My aunt mentioned that one of the things that we are doing still is we're still hoping for this extension with Island Hospital. They have a board meeting coming on up this coming Thursday. From noon till 1:30 in the afternoon at the hospital. Sir Bob and I and others are going to be going to that meeting and pleading our case. If any of you know members, commissioners on that board, there are 5 board members that they have, Jan Iverson, Warren Tesler, Paul Maun, Lynn Lang, who's the board president, and Chip Bogosian. If you know these people and want to put a plug in for us, that possibly might be helpful.
Up till now, Nancy Winan. Up till now, we've been hearing about the positives of being a partner with a hospital or other association. The positives for Lopez. What are the positives for a hospital district to attach themselves to us?
On? Okay. There's 2 or 3 really great reasons why we're a good partner. The first one is that we have a lot of lab radiology, infusion therapy, and other kinds of services that we bring to the hospital. The second, and also inpatients. The second one is that we provide a lot of overhead coverage. So if you think about that Medicare program, if they're getting, what did we say it was, $630,000 for our part of it, $630,000 is allocated to the hospital, and they don't get all $630,000 of that because that's 100% of costs, but they get their proportionate share of that overhead covered. And it doesn't really cost them that much money to provide those services because we're getting like a tenth of one FTE and a tenth of this person and a 20% of that person. And maybe they just are able to handle something else without a person at all. So a lot of hospitals have a lot of fixed costs. And if you can help contribute toward the cost of those fixed costs, then you're a net benefit. The risk that they run, though, in addition to financial risk, is that they don't come out here very often, the administrative people at least. And so they have to trust that what these guys are doing is good stuff, you know. And every, 3 or 4 years, they send people out. And, of course, they find things that they're doing that aren't exactly precisely what they do at the hospital. So there are downsides, too, besides just financial. You have to make sure that you have good oversight because you're really depending on people to follow your rules, and that means you have to keep them apprised of your rules and how they are changing over time with all these new regulations.
Yes. Rick?
Just a second. Nancy, did that answer your question? Okay.
So also, one other attraction that we offer to hospitals is our wonderful patient base. Overall, we're a very healthy and compliant and wellness-oriented community. And as reimbursements and evaluations of services are moving from just how many people come through the door, they're leaving that and they're moving towards evaluating services on, did the diabetic actually improve their situation? You know, the person, when was the last time someone was readmitted to a hospital with a cardiac event, something that was within their control? We offer a kind of a dilution factor. I think this is, am I on the right track? Okay, good. This, I have learned so much in the past 4 months. Holy moly. But we are good people, and we are an attraction to them because we kind of make up for some of these other smaller populations or larger populations in different locations where the compliance is low and the outcomes are poor. And so if the trend in the change in model continues, we're a good deal for someone. And some of these organizations are trying to spread out into larger areas to try to bring in some of those nice, healthy, wellness-oriented populations. So we are that. But as Bob said, you know, the timing right now for this situation to arise is a poor one because there's just so many other complicating factors. But we're a good catch.
Rick? Maybe the battery's down. We're going to switch it out.
So, back to Nancy's question. Back, this is not the first time this has happened. Island Hospital, back a number of years ago when I was on the board, saber-rattled once before and threatened to remove us, and actually did remove Orcas at the time. But at that time, they didn't get rid of us because they weren't sure how beneficial we were to the hospital with referrals. What she mentioned earlier about referrals and labs and things like that, we are a very good partner, and they didn't get rid of us then, and Tootie will tell you this, because they didn't know how beneficial we were. They couldn't keep track of the finances. And so we are a very good partner. I think if all the outside factors with affordable care and the re-election and the Trump administration, if all that stuff wasn't happening right now, I think we would have probably been scooped up by now. We're just unfortunate right now to have all those outside factors going on. So this is not the first time this has happened. We got by before because Island Hospital had such a lousy accounting system. They didn't know how valuable we were. Bob will tell you, he doesn't keep a little check mark on the wall on the number of referrals he sends to Island Hospital. But we believe that we are a very attractive partner for someone, and had those other things in the outside world not been going on right now, we would have probably been scooped up very quickly by a player perhaps closer to us than Island Hospital is. So I, for one, am very optimistic that something's going to happen. And even if it doesn't, I'm even more optimistic that if we have to go it alone, we'll be successful. I've seen situations like this in my professional career where we've had lots of roadblocks over the years, and somehow we've come out of them. I told Bob the other night after work, I said, I don't know what we've done over the years to come out of those things, but somehow, when it's all said and done at the end of the day, we've persevered somehow, and we will persevere for this. Thank you.
For the record, that was Rick McCoy.
I've got a question here.
I'd like to just add to Rick's comment that I know that this is a scary time, but Crystal Reventi, our wonderful clinic manager, in an email said to me that that a confidence that at the end will come out even better, and I think that that's the case.
Roar Marin. I was curious on the Aurora Marin. On the front page of the Anacortes American last week, there was a synopsis of the financial difficulties that Island Hospital was in, and I read it, this article, very thoroughly, and there was no mention of our clinic or Orcus Clinic as being a problem. But what they did go into specifically was their inability and need to be accountable to the outcome of their patients. And this article went through practically every department. And I was wondering I have two questions. One, if you could help me understand a very specific question of what reason they are giving you for dropping our clinic. And secondly, have you, following up on his point, is that our clinic is very responsible. Have we done due justice to accounting for the quality and the content of the delivery of our services in a 19 or 2016 protocol? I think that would be really helpful.
I'll try that one. So as far as what you're really, the second question is really asking, are we keeping track of patient outcome? So you do these things that we do, you manage blood pressure and get people immunized and talk to them about all the healthcare stuff, get their colonoscopies, et cetera, et cetera. And are we actually making a difference in patient health? Are we improving it? And so one of the problems there is that we have an antiquated electronic medical record. We cannot actually query it and get that kind of information. So one of the things that the new systems like Cerner or Epic or what have you, they are much, much better at extracting that information. And we one of the things that we did in this whole process, we went to Smoky Point Clinic, which is around Arlington, and it's one of the University of Washington neighborhood clinics, just to look at a clinic. And they have the latest and greatest of everything. I was sitting down with their medical director, and she showed me some of the things that this system can do. You can say, list all my diabetic patients. What are their hemoglobin A1Cs, which is a measurement of blood sugar control. I can show you what people are in compliance, what people aren't, when their appointments were, have they had their eye exam, ad nauseum. It's amazing the information you can extract. Our EMR does none of that. And Crystal's shaking her head vigorously back and forth. No. So what? How can we tell if we're actually helping people out? Well, it's a lot of it's gestalt. I can tell you that 10 years ago, we were using a medication called Tenecteplase in the clinic pretty regularly, which is a person comes in, they get a blocked artery in their heart, they're having a heart attack, and you give, one of the things you can do is give them a medication that dissolves the clot right then and there if they meet certain criteria. We have not used that in a long time. So I think we are, and I mean, that would just be one obvious measurement of our ability to prevent disease better. But ultimately, I can't answer your question because we can't mine that data. Go ahead.
I was working at New York Hospital. I'm in my capacity as a licensed independent clinical social worker when HIPAA came on, and we had to change over to electronic documents. I'm not in any way, I just want to make sure, my question is not in any way questioning whether delivery is happening. My question is Island Hospital aware that we do not have the computer capacity to document what's going on, and that may be a real disadvantage and part of their decision to drop us, if my assessment of what's going on in that hospital is correct right now, is that they're concerned in the big picture that they can't show facts, they can't show statistics. I would go so far to say that in that board meeting on Thursday, this should be brought up because it sounds quite dramatic.
Thank you.
So they're using the same, but they supply us with the EMR. They're using the same junky thing that we are. And it's when people come to the clinic and we like to show things off to them, we don't show them that. It's embarrassing. It's just like, it looks like a Pong game. It's just awful. So they can't get that data either. They've been sort of metamorphosizing this system every year as best they can to help to try and meet some of the Affordable Care Act requirements. You have to have an electronic medical record. You have to show that it can do all these things for it. And that's why they're installing a completely new system, which they say will be fully implemented by spring of 2018 at the cost of about $15 million. So, and that's, believe me, that's cheap. You look at systems like Swedish, $80 million to put these things in. And that's just to install it. So they can't do it either, and neither can we. So they're aware of it, but they're trying to remedy it with this update on their system.
Bob, the second half of that question was, did Island give a specific reason?
Yes. So when I was talking to Vince Aller, the CEO, he said that we are extrapolating a financial loss from your clinic in the not too distant future. That was his first initial statement. But subsequent to that, through many conversations and reading between the lines, a lot of it is really they're overwhelmed. Talking with some of their employees who work directly in the departments like billing and whatnot, they're losing employees. They can't keep up with their own workload. Their employees are fried. The administration's fried because of all these new requirements and duties that they're required to produce. And so by letting Orcas go and letting Lopez go, they simplify their headache, basically. And that's a lot of it. And the finances as well. So it's complicated.
Oh. Thank you. We have one more question.
I'm Don Langrock. My question here is, if we were to go independent and come up with a hospital district and go independent, would we have to finance all these electronic records ourselves?
So one option, if we go independent, is to let's say we went with Athena Health. I don't know what we're going to do, but let's just say they supply certain services, and one of those services is to supply you with an electronic medical record, a software program, and plus other things. But even if we were to go with another group, a bigger group, we would have to convert to theirs. And the kind of figures they're throwing around have been, okay, if we accept you as a clinic, you come into our hospital group, and we supply you with Epic, for example, we're going to ask you to pony up about $400,000 for that conversion, to put you into our system. And a lot of that is just transferring patient files. You have to hand transfer all these files. So, but yes, if we entered into a management services group, one of the main things they do is supply an EMR.
Wouldn't that occur with whatever group we went with?
It would. And even if we were to stay with Island Hospital, we'd still be looking at a transition to their new EMR.
Okay. Yep. And the only bad words I ever heard around the clinic was when someone was trying to work with one of their computers.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
We have a question over here.
I'm Bob Sundquist. If we go into the area of independency, you're talking a lot about administration and finances and that kind of stuff. What about the things that are like emergency room services? How do you get those infusion services for cancer clinic, cancer people and home, you know, things that we don't provide, but they provide?
So the broader answer to your question would be, whoever we end up working with, we would hope they would bring new, better stuff to the table. Better electronic medical record is the obvious one, but hopefully better services as well. But we are still remote, and there's only so much you can have on the island. I don't anticipate that we would ever have, well, in the near future, that we would have things like infusion services. That would still be an off-site service. We just, and oh, well, we can refer to whomever we want. That there's a bill passed many years ago called the Stark II that prohibits, with Island Hospital, for example, they can't require us to refer to them. And we do when we're able to, because we want to support them and when it's appropriate. But we can send patients wherever we want, and that wouldn't change, as far as I know. Yeah. So you could go to Friday Harbor or Island or wherever and get the specialty services that you require. And that, I don't see that changing.